the one that gives the increase. I know it's by His Spirit that you receive, and I'll tell you, that Spirit is for you. And I thank the Lord that He gives you that capacity to understand. But the thing I pray for is that we even have more desire to take these things and go study them. Go get out the Word of God during the week. Go back over these things. I would encourage you, not because I've given the study, but it's a study to listen to at least a few times. And as well, getting out, if you can, get online and look at the Roman study book by Brother Copley. You'll notice that there's many things that are very similar. As a matter of fact, they are the same because it's the same truth. And I'm grateful to God that the Lord just continues to open more light upon light on these things. But as we get into chapter 5 tonight, what we're going to notice is we're right back to the reality of the righteousness of God that we have been made for Him through His blood. So let's go ahead and read verse 1, one of the most fantastic verses in the entire Word of God. But we say that often, thank you, Jesus. But it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I am so grateful to God that we know that. I am so thankful that, yes, we have peace with God, period. It's not if we feel we have peace of God, the peace of God. We're so grateful to God that we have peace with God because we have it. Because of the blood of Jesus. And notice we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no peace with God except through and through Jesus being your Lord. Amen. Being your Lord. Not just through Jesus Christ, a great teacher, a prophet, not that anything but that He is your Lord and your Savior, and you have forever peace with God. And how wonderful that is. And the reason is the enmity that it speaks of in Ephesians 2:15. The enmity that was between us and God has been taken away. And that enmity was the law and its ordinances. It has been abolished. And I stand perfect in the new man, in the new life of the only begotten Son before God my Father. And I am so thankful to say, hallelujah, I've got peace. And I pray that we always understand that. I am thankful that we always have peace with God. We're always in that favor, as we'll read of here in a minute. We don't always yield to God. And that's moving over to the peace of God. When we yield to God, we actually have His peace. We have the peace of God because we have that fellowship going on. When we're not yielding to God, we don't necessarily have the peace of God in our lives. And we know that. That peace of God is something that's grown. You begin to have His rest. You begin to have His peace. You begin to have His very joy. You begin to grow up even into His very love. It's amazing what you can have of God because we are of God. Did you know that? We're born of God. We have that life of very God, of very God in us. That's the life we have, which is the life of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's a powerful life. That's the life that's got it all. So, but it begins with peace with God. See, that's grace. You understand that? And that's never contingent. That's never contingent. You have it. You have it always because you're His Son. So we thank God for this. And that's why there's no other way to grow but in that grace. The grace that I know that I have peace with God at every moment of my life. Even when I'm not yielding, I have the peace with God that He wants me to pour. He wants to pour forth in me the peace of God. You see, He don't want to withhold that. He wants to give that to me, which He does unbelievably. Now, this peace, praise God, that He has given us is only through the finished work on the cross. I love as it says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. It says, and having made peace. See, this isn't something that the Lord is working on. It's done. See, He's made that peace for us. And how did He make it? And having made peace through the blood of the cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, he's made that peace through him. And thanks be to God that we have that, that there is no other way. See, Cain magnified that at the very beginning. No matter how much he tried, no matter what his effort was, no matter how much sweat was on his brow, no matter how good his intentions were, he was not even close. He was completely rejected because you have to bring me the lamb. It must be by the blood. Without the blood, there is no remission of sin. As the Father says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And thank you, Lord, that we have that. But see, peace with God, thank you, Lord Jesus, that would be just the greatest thing if that was the only thing. But praise God, it's only the beginning. That's the beginning, and we're thankful for that. I have, through that peace with God, I have complete access by the grace of God in which we stand. See, that peace with God is grace. That's the grace of God, and I have that, and I have complete access by the grace of God in which we stand. Let's read verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Isn't that wonderful? See, Brother Paul is encouraging. There is nothing else to stand in but grace. Matter of fact, you just have to come to the awareness of it. If you're born again, you stand in grace. Amen. See, that's why when people say, oh, are you a grace saint? There isn't any other saint but a grace saint. You understand that? We're all saved by grace through faith. It's that way. It's grace. And we stand in grace. I thank the Lord. But the question is, will you grow in grace? Will you grow in grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? And this is what is being put forth here. And it's so wonderful that we have full favor with God because we are now the sons of God. And in that we rejoice, as it says here, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. I just think it's so marvelous that we rejoice in the glory of God. And oh my, what grace can bring and perform in us, brothers and sisters, as we know that it says in Colossians chapter 1, it tells us that Christ in you is the hope of glory. See, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God because Christ in you is the hope of glory. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. Glory's hope is Christ in you. I mean, that's just huge. Glory's hope, praise God. And who is glory? It's him. And his hope is in you. And then Christ in you is the hope of glory. It's such a manifold thing. It's such a grace for grace. It's such a double portion. It's such a oneness. Do you see the oneness in Christ? He's the glory, but I'm glory for him. And it's all in one. And it's in that power, praise God, that he gives us this. And I know that he's growing this up in us to see it. And oh my, what this is for him. But that, if you think about, that's Colossians 1:27. All of glory's hope, future, expectation is in the sons of God. It's right here. This is it. Don't look around. Because it doth not yet appear. Don't look around. We look like a bunch of tired folk on Wednesday nights. But you look into the Word of God of who you are in Christ. And oh my, I see it. I see it. And I thank the Lord. I glory in that. And what he's doing and the oneness that we have in Christ. See, no wonder. Turn on over to Romans 8:19. This is, it's here, there, and everywhere in the Word of God. But in Romans 8:19, it says, for the earnest expectation of all creation, the creature, all creation, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. And never forget that word sons is huios. That's very precise, these sons. And That means the mature sons of God. See, that earnest expectation is to see these sons that come forth in the fullness and the measure and the stature of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful thing of what God has placed for us to be for Him. And brothers and sisters, again, this manifestation of the sons of God, why is it in them? Because that's where all the glory has been built by the grace of God. See, we're to the praise and the glory of His grace. That's what we are. That wonderful, fully built, readied wife. Hallelujah. She'll be descending from heaven having the glory of God. His very glory. This is what this is speaking of. And you think that this glory, praise God, that is for the good pleasure of His will for all the ages to come. That's why it has to be all grace. That's why it has to be all grace. Not some grace and some works. It has to be all grace. Nothing but grace. And by the way, that's Paul's grace. When Paul said, ye are partakers of my grace, it's not a different grace. It's the same grace. But I'll tell you what, it's all grace. And it's only grace. That's why Paul says, you're partakers of my grace. I did not make the grace of God vain in my life. That's that kind of grace. Hallelujah. And what it produces is mighty. So see, that's the only way to have this most set apart faith, to believe as we believe by the grace of God, not just in and about the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, but that it's for me, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, that praise be to God, it's the one thing, it's the only thing, and it's for Jesse. That's how it is here, and it's all by grace. Now, let's go on over to verse 3 and 4. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Boy, that's surprising. Huh? Knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Oh my, that's we just got to stop there because I got to take a breath. Wow, that's something. That glory is amazing. But see, we know that this glory, praise God, by His grace, comes through the suffering. As Brother Paul said to those Corinthians, I glory in my infirmities. I thank the Lord that that's been made very real in our lives. It's very personal to me. I'm thankful to God that I'm beginning to know more and more every day. When I am weak, the very power of Christ rests upon me. And I'm thankful to know the Word of God. He says, if you'll suffer with me, you'll reign. There has to be that partaking. As the Word of God tells us, she's a readied wife. I've never met a spouse that was a spouse that was in love with who they were married to, that did not suffer together with them. How much more so our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we're thankful for that. But see, this is the beauty of the pearl. And we're talking of the beauty of the pearl of great price, aren't we? And I think about how that pearl, even in the natural, it comes forth. You have that little clam or oyster or whatever it would be. And, you know, they used to think it was a piece of sand. Well, it's actually a parasite. It's even worse. It sounds real yucky. But a parasite gets in there and it irritates. And it doesn't leave. It's there for good. And what happens is it irritates. There's a protective coating that continues to be built around that parasite, and it's more and more. So from that wound, from that hurt, from that pierced side, praise be to God. Think of that, what's coming forth for Him. And it's a marvelous thing, brothers and sisters, marvelous beyond comprehension, but yet this, by His Spirit we know this. But see, the one thing about that, and especially in understanding that oyster and that pearl, nothing else is coming forth from that but a pearl. Did you know that? You're not going to get a carrot or a hot dog in there. You're going to get a pearl. You are, you know. That's what you're going to get. And that's exactly what we have in us through every trial. Is the pearl of great price coming forth for him. Because Paul's gospel faith produces only that. Don't worry. Don't worry. I'm so thankful. Don't fret. By the grace of God, believe. Amen. Believe. He'll produce it. That's what he does. What a husbandman we have. Amen? So we have this purpose, don't we? This marvelous purpose, the manifestation of the sons of God. But he didn't just leave us with this passion and purpose and say, well, that's great. Verse 5 tells us what else he gave us. It says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So not only does he give us his heart, not only does he give us his life, not only does he give us his purpose and passion and love and everything, he gives us his power. And you know what? I need it, don't you? Amen. That Holy Ghost power. But it's not power that some people think and want to say, oh yeah, that. And let me tell you something, that's a mighty powerful thing. By the grace of God, I know that the Holy Ghost has given me the power right now to speak his truth. It's a wonderful thing. Just as it was given to Peter. Peter was given that wonderful boldness to go preach the word of God. I get that. And part of that is this power that he's speaking of, which is the greatest of the power, I believe, of the Holy Ghost. He sheds the love of God abroad in your heart. That's the power, praise God, that presses you on, that continues to have you reaching forth for more grace. Oh, I love him. I love how he loves me. And that's what the Holy Ghost does here. And see, it's sad because some of God's precious people, they lack this love. And I'm speaking specifically of bridal saints. They have knowledge, but they're lacking fervent love. And I'm seeing it more and more as we're getting close. When love lacks in your life, and it's seen a lot of different ways, but you live defeated. When love lacks, you become more critical. Oh, yes, you do. When love lacks, you become cold. When love lacks, you become bitter. When love lacks, you become jealous of those. Jealous of those that are going on abounding in the love of the truth. And you need to be aware of that for your life. And I'm telling you the truth. You need to be aware of that. You encourage people in the Word of God. And they may have been very close to you. And you may have had very wonderful fellowship. But if they're not going on in the abounding in the love of the truth, you go on. Amen. You do not want to be stuck at a halfway house. Because there'll be no one else to blame but you. And I'm sorry for them. I'm sorry for them. But we all stop. Now, 6-8. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. Oh my. But God commandeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I love that. He commanded his love to me. He commanded it. Oh my. He commanded it. One of the most mighty statements in the Bible. It's all there. What he's saying here is his love was made whole in us. It was. It was made one in us through him. All there, nothing lacking to grow up in all of love's power and all of love's purpose for him. For him. Remember, this is for him. Thank you, Jesus. Now, this isn't We're not love that we're trying to attain, brothers and sisters. But as the Word of God says, that we would apprehend as we're apprehended. See, that love has already been given. That word apprehended is not necessarily attaining like you think of attaining something. It's to understand what you already have. See, that's why the Holy Ghost has been given, to show you the things which you have. To show you those things. To guide you into all truth. Amen. You have that life that lives in you. To have that, praise God. And this is what He wants for you, to know this, to have that understanding of what we have been given. And the fullness and the measure and the stature of what we've been given. The knowledge to be the very bride for Jesus. Amen. Amen. To understand that. Do you see what we have been made for Him? It is a marvelous thing. See, no wonder Jesus said, now, you got to listen to this. This is so amazing. It's just so powerful. Jesus said, and we'll go over to John 16. Let's just go on over there. Remember, as He's talking to His disciples, I must send Him. I must send Him. You're going over to John 16. Going over there. What is that, in the 7th verse? Jesus telling His disciples here. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. Now this is so powerful here. That word send, it means to thrust one thing into another. Listen to that. He's not just going to send Him, He's going to thrust Him into you. This is the one who sheds the love of God abroad in your heart. You don't think God is a passionate lover? You don't think Jesus is so passionately in love with you? That I'm going to go send the one, the power of my might. The power of my might is my love. And I'm going to have Him just thrust it into you. It's been with you, but now He shall be in you. Oh my. Praise be to God. You talk about commanding love. He said God commanded His love to us. But think of, again, the double portion that we have by the power of the Holy Ghost. He was thrust it into us. How God loves us and how God wants us to love Him. Amen. See, you can't develop that love on your own. It has to be the power of His might. And praise be to God. Let it be a fountain. Praise His name. Now, going back to Romans 5, verse 9. And it says there, much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. So really get this, brothers and sisters. And I thank the Lord for this encouragement through Brother Copley and many of these ones that have written on this subject many, many years ago. Victory over sin and death. That means the whole old creation. The whole old creation was put to death in Christ's death. The whole old creation was put to death in Christ's death. But only those who accept their death as His death are raised in the new creation. Michael, you're going to sit still, honey, okay? Now, think of that. Think of that. Raised in the new creation. We're raised in the new man. Now, what I want you to think about, for everything going forward in the new man that you are, the power of the resurrection. The new man that lives in you, the power of the resurrection. Will we believe that He raised us with him from and out of all things. What didn't the power of his resurrection raise us out of? And matter of fact, I believe it says we're raised with him and seated together with him. How far is that raised up above all these things? Amen? Do you see why, brothers and sisters, we need to really relish and rejoice in Christ in us, the hope of glory? It's who we are in Christ. Amen? That life lives in us. That new man lives in us. Understand in giving him the praise and the glory of that life. Understand the power, praise God, given to that life and in that life. But see, that's just it. We see here, as we begin to get into this, the reason that this is so exciting in the ninth verse is we begin to get in the much the mores. You've heard that, the much the mores, the much the mores. In this passage right here, in the next few verses, there's five of them. We just went through two of them in two verses. So notice how it started there in verse 9, much the more then. And you'll notice in verse 10, it said much the more. Well, there's going to be three more here in a minute too. But let's talk about that first one in verse 9. It says, we are now justified. Look at that. Much more then, being now justified by his blood. More than, and I mean this, I'm so thankful. Justified just as if I never sinned. I love that, but it's even more. I'm just like him. Amen. I'm just like him. I have that life in me. And here's what it is. His life lives in me. I didn't just recover from the fall of man through Adam. It wasn't a recovery. Oh my goodness, he gave me his righteous life. His proved and faultless life. He gave me his unchangeable, imputed, and imparted life. I don't know if to, well, never mind. All right. Now, then the second one, right there in verse 10, it says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled. Look at that. So being reconciled, see, and we were favored to be saved by his life. See, reconciled, favored to be saved by his life. But what this is saying, but there's even more. Because we have joy through Jesus. Because why? The much the more I received atonement. So I didn't just have favor because he saved me. I have atonement, which means I am highly favored. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. This is highly favored time. And you think about what God has highly favored us with. This is a double portion of favor. See where he set you for him? Highly favored. And I'll tell you what, that's only the second much the more. We're just beginning here. Now, let's skate through here, 12 through 14. Wherefore, as by one man, and that was Adam, sin entered into the world. Yes, it did. And death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Get it? All have sinned. Come short of the glory of God. None righteous, no, not one. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. So understand this. Adam sinned. And he did. And that sin was that he disobeyed God. He did. See? Now look at verse 14. Nevertheless, because of that disobedience and because of sin entered, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. See? Because we know that it wasn't until then, until Moses, that the law was even given. But see, sin did still reign. Yes. That disobedience. We're all disobedient. We're born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. All right, now here we go. But now, verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Isn't that wonderful? Free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be dead, oh, here's the third, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Oh, it's marvelous. Isn't it wonderful? Praise his name. How the Father so set him up so perfectly. The Lamb of God, behold the Lamb. The free gift, never earned. The third, much the more, the grace of God. Now, this is the gift by grace. And I love it. Grace by one man. Jesus. Grace by one man, Jesus. Hath abounded to many, it says there. Didn't notice in verse 12, it said all had sinned. Amen. There was none excluded there. But grace abounded only to many, not all. Why? Because you must believe for grace to abound. It's there. But if you reject grace, let me tell you something, you're not going to abound. You're dead. And the more believing, the more grace we enjoy. Praise God. It is very simple. Now verse 17. Let's go on over to there. Here comes the fourth one. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive. Now this is huge here. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Now, the much more they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one. Now, I want you to think about where he's taken us in just a short few verses with the much more. We went from justified to favored to highly favored and now reigning in life. Do you see how much more? He's after you, isn't he? And you didn't have to wait till the 8th chapter. You didn't even have to wait till the 5th chapter. You saw it in the 1st chapter, in the 2nd, in the 3rd, in the 4th. The pattern is there. It's over and over. Now, let's really take this apart here because this is so beautiful. Where it says there, much more they which receive. That word receive means to take and to make one's own. To take and make one's own. And what is that? The abundance. And with God, we know that that means the exceeding abundantly above. But this even has a special meaning. It means the preeminence of grace, the very height of grace. So let's backtrack again with this talking about to take and to make one's own the preeminence of grace, and they shall reign in life. They shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. And that reign means to be king. So one more time, let's go back. To take and to make one's own the preeminence of grace, the height of grace, to be king. It is, wow. It's all there. And it's all through the much more grace. Praise his name. See, this is truly expressing to us in great detail the child in Galatians 4:1. That's the child that has grown fully in grace to exercise all the full reigning he was born to be. Amen. Aren't you thankful for what God's grace has caused you to feed on all these years? That's the truth. Without it, as it says in Galatians 4:1, without that word, without that understanding of the power of His grace in this righteous reigning life that He has given us, it's a righteous reigning life. Don't look around. It doth not yet appear. But it's going on by faith. It calls those things which be not as though they were, because it stands on the promises of God. It's the same as Abraham. That's why it's so beautiful how God has had us in all of these different sermons and studies and all. And it's so beautiful. And it's His leading. I'm just telling you, I just stand there and go, I'm going to class every day. It's marvelous. I am. I show up. And then and here He is again giving at the same class, you know. But that was just as Abraham. It didn't look like it. It was a strange place. He sojourned in a strange land, which was also His promise. I think this thing is kind of a strange land. It ain't out there. It's right here. Jesse's strange. But this is the vessel that He said, I'll build my promise in if you'll let me, son. Oh, thank you, God. See, without the understanding of the power of grace and the righteous reigning life that He gave us, brothers and sisters, you remain a servant in mentality. A servant in mentality. Instead of the Lord of all life that lives in every child of God. That's it. That's the difference. You understand that. That is the difference. Those that have come in and even recently and have seen with enlightened eyes of understanding, they understand that this, the difference is the truth, the word of His grace. That's what this is. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let's close it up. Verses 18 through 21. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men. To what? To condemnation. That's all. That's all that was there. That judgment, I'll tell you what, it's going to be condemnation. Because if you're going to be judged by works or judged in sin, it's over. That's why that great white throne of judgment, that ain't judging for any goodness. It's done. It's over. So therefore, by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered. Oh, love this and highlight this in your Bible. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Hallelujah. The law was given that sin would be magnified. Sin would be just overwhelming. But where sin abounded, grace did, and here's your fifth one. Isn't that wonderful? Five of them. Grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Now that 20th verse, again, so magnificent. The law was given to expose the vastness of sin. The vastness of it. It was everywhere. There are none righteous, no, not one. And there was only one way out. And that was the overflowing grace. And that overflowing grace far exceeded the overflowing of sin. And it swallowed it right up in victory. Hallelujah. And that is the final, the fifth and final, much more. Let's read that again. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I pray that that's something that comes out of your heart often. Because I'll tell you what, there's a lot of sin abounding. Yes, there is. And I understand it. But I magnify the grace of God. And I want to rejoice not in the I don't want to magnify the sin. Not now. It was magnified at one time until grace came. And when grace came, it overflowed it all. Praise God. And that's why I don't even want to look upon it. I don't want to recognize, in a sense, that it's the Word of God says, flee the very appearance of it. Now, that isn't in a self-righteous way. What do you think that is? Shoot, if we're to flee the very appearance of sin, I don't want to even say what percentage messed up today. Where is he going with this? See it here. See the new man, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus that you have been made. See, when I entertain the enemy's lies, it's just going to bog me down. When I get about the things that are true and lovely and meditate on those things, there'll be growth and abounding. There won't be time for the lies of the enemy. I'll be so occupied with these things that a lot of those things that used to occupy my time because I was a child. And I know a lot of children in the Lord that are sure occupied with my life, but not in Christ. Do you understand that? I best be occupied with Christ in you, the hope of glory, don't you think? I believe our Father, He chastens us just right. All right. I wouldn't want us lean in any legal way, would you? Yeah. Because you know why? Because where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Amen. That as sin hath reigned unto death, let me ask you, what reigns now? Grace reigns. Grace reigns. Do you hear that?
Amen.
Grace reigns.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. And I'll tell you what, and us who are reigning in it also need to see it always. Always see it, that grace reigns. We need to see the mercy. We need to see that grace always. And how do we see that? By being as those cherubim that always are staring at the blood. Staring at the blood. Receiving that mercy and grace that covered it all. And why? Because you know what? We fail. We fail. And you know how sometimes we fail? We get puffed up. We think we know so much. Or have grown so much. Or I know and you don't. Amazing what an island you'll become. It's the truth.
Amen.
And also besides getting puffed up, can you imagine that sometimes we'll even yield to temptation? I didn't think a Christian ever did that. My, oh my, what are we doing here? You shouldn't be in here if you yield to temptation. So everybody walk out the door right now.
Amen.
I'm not encouraging you to sin willfully that grace may abound. Please don't. And I'll just say it. Don't be stupid. And I'd almost go on over to say, please don't be evil. Because you know better than that. But I'll tell you what, it's the mercy seat. And I'll tell you, that's been such growth in this meeting. As we're becoming a meeting more and more, not just new, but more and more. You understand the power of the mercy seat, the beauty of the mercy seat. The beauty of that wonderful grace. The beauty to truly understand that, yes, I'm brand new. But you know what? When I make mistakes and when I have problems and I make the wrong decision, there's two things that God's precious people never say enough and sincerely. I was wrong and I'm sorry. Please listen. Please listen. This life is not all about you. And it's not. That's all the devil wants it to be. Is everything that concerns you. And it's amazing how the things that concern you concern me. They don't concern me. They don't. And I mean that. And I think you understand how I mean that. This is about him. And this is about his life in you. This is what this is. And brothers and sisters, I'll tell you what. You look at that mercy, it will keep you in that lowliness of humility. And then it will also take you into the heights of thankfulness. Praise God. To always run on. Amen. To not stop. You receive this, brothers and sisters. This is the height and depth of it all. We reign because grace reigns. Amen. If grace isn't reigning in you, you're not reigning. Grace reigns, and if grace reigns in you, then you reign. And I'll tell you what, and we grace reigns, why? Through the righteousness of God, that we have been made for him unto eternal life. It's so perfect, isn't it, brother? Seeing it, aren't you? How perfectly, wonderfully, and fearfully made for him. The sons of God. Now are we the sons of God. Grace reigns. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.